Welcome to 94 and More, a podcast presented by Bristol Studio. I'm Jake Fenster, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Vic Law.
Yes, sir. Vic,
how we doing?
Man, I'm good. Living life. Had a couple setbacks, but I'm feeling good.
How many games in are you now? What's the point in the season? Is it halfway through?
We are at 18 games. Played 19 tonight.
You played 19 tonight?
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if you're able to talk about it, but if you are, I know you've been going through a lot in the last, 2 weeks? A lot has happened, a lot of change.
Tough one. Yep.
So take us through kind of what happened and what you've been, dealing with.
Man, I had some ankle issues. Tried to, do some rehab and some mobility stuff to bounce back from that. It turned out to be a little worse than what we expected. So for the betterment of, I guess, of myself, in terms of my career, we have just decided to shut it down this season and go ahead and get a surgery to just repair and clean it all up.
How did it happen? What was it in the middle of a game? Something happened, or in practice, or what? When did you know something was wrong?
So from my understanding, I've had kind of a tendonitis or tendinopathy in my ankle. Here's a little medical lesson for the listeners. And basically that is a degenerative condition or degeneration of the tendon that has been slowly breaking down, I guess, over time and just accumulation of trauma. So
while you're high flying dunks.
Yeah, must be. So I've never had ankle problems, but I guess just over an accumulation of like slightly tweaking it, rolling it, whatever. I got to this point. So last week I kind of jammed my foot and just couldn't really put a lot of weight on the outside of my foot. And so, after a ton of MRIs and scans and stuff, this the conclusion we came upon.
So when you realized it was going to be kind of a more serious injury and it was something that you would have to consider, your next steps very carefully, what went into that thought process? Was that something that you came to on your own? You kind of thought about it. Did you speak with your agent? Were you speaking with the team? What went into that?
I think, for a lot of reasons, a lot personal, I typically will play through injuries and just out of respect for my teammates and my coaches and the organization, they treated me so well. I have really been excited to get on the court with them and try to get back, as fast as I can. But obviously with this injury, it's been tough for me to try to do that, working every day and still, not feeling able to perform, because there's a difference between playing and performing. Yeah. And I think right now I could just kind of get out there and just say I had a jersey on, I wouldn't really be able to run or change direction. So that's not helping anybody, and that just puts me at more risk of injuring myself. So just talking to my trainers and physios and the doctors, who are all great people, who all have such a great knowledge about what they're talking about. It just seems like this is the best decision for me as an athlete, still pretty young in my career. So, so I want to move forward.
How tough is that, mentally to, because I know you, I know how hard you work and I know how much you put in and just how tough it is when these things happen. So how tough is that for you to kind of just wrap your mind around that, this season is, it's not lost, but it's not, you're not able to continue forward the way that you would like to. How do you move forward from that? How do you find the silver linings there?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's disappointing, right? Like, I was playing well or playing decently. We were winning.
You were playing very well. You were playing very well.
Jake, here at 94 More, man, we got high expectations, man. I was playing all right. I wasn't the highest.
I know, but I can gas you up. No, you definitely weren't like me in my prime.
No. Well, that's Miami LeBron, but
it was more like Reggie Evans.
I hope not. No, but obviously it was disappointing getting a call, right? And you're hearing a guy say, like, yeah, you're done. But you gotta look at the positives. He's like, look, man, we could try to really rehab it, but I think for the betterment of your career and to really just get you 100%. And you never know, maybe I was hindered by this a little bit and I just never knew it. You never know what the possible outcome might be, but I'm just happy we were able to find this, kind of get ahead of it. And, now at the end of the day, now I can really focus on getting healthy, soaking as much knowledge and information about basketball and overseas basketball as I can while I'm out watching. So, yeah, man, like there's nothing's going to help it being negative. So I'm positive through it all. You know, it's all in God's timing. And I know at the end of the day, I'm running my own race. And whatever this does, whatever the hurdle is, I know it's going to put me right in the exact spot I'm supposed to be. So I'm happy.
So what does that mean for you in terms of, you know, staying out there in Australia? Are you going to be out there for the rest of the season with the team? Are you going and then rehabbing with the team? Or are you thinking about what your other options might be?
So in terms of surgery, I think I probably would get the surgery out here. The doctor out here is pretty great. Or in surgeon, I guess you say. And then I would do, you know, some of the rehab and the early stages of being in crutches and on a boot here. And then from then we would just see, like, you know, where I'm at and, you know, how things look. But I wouldn't spend the whole recovery process in Australia. No, I'd be coming back to America at some point.
Is that just, I mean, that's tough, man, because I feel like, I know you're in a good place about all of it. It seems like that, but I still, yeah. It's hard to imagine, you know, you had a plan, you were season, you're prepared to be out there till a certain point, and then, you know, absolutely, to act accordingly. And it, you know, it's a big shift in your plans. How, I'm not even sure if you've gone this far with it and, you know, you're taking it day by day, but how is that affecting, you know, your approach to next season and where you're going to be, and all of those things that, you know, you have to start taking into account fairly soon, right?
I mean, you got to take into account every day, but yeah. I'm excited. I think now, you know, it gives me a, you know, even more of a reason to just be super hungry in the off season and try to work out and eat as much as I can, man. Just trying to get better. And I'm excited to see like where this puts me. You know, who knows, man? Maybe I come back jumping like Zion or something. Who knows, man? So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this all translates and correlates to my game, and you know, with the rehab. Getting my left leg stronger, just getting stronger altogether. Yeah. You know, obviously, like I said, coming over here at first, playing so far away from home and kind of being by yourself around new people and new culture really gives you time to like learn about yourself and think and just, you know, be you. But now, just especially with this injury, now that I won't have basketball as much.
Yeah.
It'll really just make me mature and put a lot of perspective and appreciation into the little things I do every day.
Are there other maybe activities or like hobbies, things out there that you've been enjoying that you think you're going to take some time and put more energy into since you're going to have more free, you know, you'll still be rehabbing and doing things, but you know, you don't have basketball. So what are you going to turn to as like an outlet to kind of,
I mean, I'll still be gaming. I mean, I got the PS5, Jake. I was, you know, shout out Vic, man. I was one of the first ones to get the PS5.
I can't even find one on the shelves. I'm trying.
Find one on StockX, dude. Go and buy one on StockX.
I'm not going on StockX. I got
just
Xbox
at Soho
One.
House. You got the money to go and get one if you wanted to. Go and buy one at StockX.
First of all, you have the NBA contract, so let's not even start.
I do. So, I'm in Australia in the league.
Tell me. I still have an Xbox One for like first generation. That every time I turn it on, I feel like it's going to blow up.
Look, man, go on StockX or you can buy my PlayStation 5. I'll give you a deal on it.
I'll buy your PlayStation 5 on StockX.
I'll give you a deal on it. I got StockX is selling theirs for $800. I'll give you mine for $775.
So now you're just going to become a 2K player. That's your full-time job?
No, nah, I've been playing Fortnite. I'm nice on Fortnite now. Again, I'm back. You know, I haven't seen you on the sticks in a while, but I'm back at Fortnite. I've been playing 2K. 2K is kind of getting repetitive, but I've been playing it, man. I'm waiting on some of the new games to drop. I actually thought about starting Twitch streaming.
That's what I was going to say. There you go.
Because I think I'd actually get a decent following. I've been thinking about that. I bought the laptop for the pod. Got to get that all finished setting up.
There you go.
Gonna get a mic. Gonna get a mic.
You got that like 2 weeks ago.
Gonna get a mic, dude. I've been on the road the whole time though. I'm just back in Brisbane. Gonna get a mic. Gonna get and I might get a, you know, like a little tripod and camera thing set up.
There you go.
And start like actually start streaming. Who knows, man? We'll see what, you know, this rehab process will look like. I'll definitely have to find something to do.
Have you thought about at all like documenting the rehab process and kind of just like, not maybe not to put something out, but maybe you're just saying, like, for making you, a blog, maybe like short form, like short form content, something just kind of shows like what you're going through, the new experiences, the challenges, kind of just everything that, you know, has been happening. Luckily we have this platform where you are able to share some of it. But I know that like seeing video of it is a whole nother thing. Is that something you've considered?
I actually have not thought about that, but I mean, sounds good, man. Hey, I'm glad you're coming up with ideas.
It's a good way to launch your acting career that we've talked about.
Yeah, well, I told you I just want to host Saturday Night Live one time, and my acting career will be done. I don't want to ask.
I mean, that's not a bad way to go to start and end hosting SNL. Side note,
have you seen Moxie?
Of course, I've seen Moxie.
Shit movie, right?
I'm not going to bash Charlie.
Yeah,
Charlie's movie.
Charlie Hall's movie was shit. You heard it here first.
But I will say this. Charlie was, in my opinion, my biased opinion, the best part of the movie. He was very much himself.
Okay. In my biased opinion, the movie Moxie streaming on Netflix that you guys can watch now is terrible. And this is not free advertising for the movie Moxie streaming on Netflix. It's terrible.
But Charlie Hall was in it.
Nah, I'm kidding. I saw it. And I would be lying to you if I told you I wasn't skipping around just to see Charlie.
Fair enough. I watched the whole thing because I'm a real fan.
I might watch the whole thing now. Well, Jake, now that I have nothing to do, man, I might watch the whole thing three times.
How many of your friends, I want an honest answer, honest answer, were watching your NBL games and texting you every time?
You have not been texting me every time. You four, maybe four or five of games, Jake. Games, Jake. We're 18 games in. Let me tell you, you have not.
I don't text you. Okay, but I don't text you after losses.
Why is that?
Because sometimes you're in a bad mood, and I don't want to make it worse.
I wouldn't yell at you. I yell at my sister when I want to yell.
Well, I can't tell. I'll shoot you a text, and I'll be like, "Oh shit, I probably shouldn't bother."
I'll just say we boofed it. We just blew it. On to the next one, man.
Yeah.
Australia is also weird because, like in this league, obviously I want to go 36-0, but the guys are just like, nah, man, you just got to be like 500 or right above 500, and that's usually enough to get in the playoffs.
How many?
Because everyone everyone beats everybody.
Yeah,
four teams.
It's less teams. Yeah, four teams. Yeah. Make playoffs.
So you play a team four times.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to beat a team four times, especially when you have a week to scout them. I mean, it's almost, it's hard to sweep a team, especially like when you're playing the same teams over and over again. So usually, even now, let me look at the standings. The race is still like fairly even. I mean, maybe you got one or two teams that have a pretty cushion, but even their cushion is still. So you got Perth is number one at 14-4, Melbourne United at 15-5, the three seed. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix at 12-8. The four seed, so the last playoff spot, is Sydney Kings, 10-10. They're tied for fourth with Illawarra, who's 10-10. Brisbane sixth at 9-10.
Oh, so right there, around the in the hunt.
Even seventh place, 8-13, eighth place, 5-12. So, like every team is still like relatively in the hunt. We got 16 games left, so.
So it'll come down to the wire.
Yeah, so every game matters in this league, which is definitely a plus. But yeah, I know you have you've been slacking, man.
I wanted to ask, did you watch March Madness?
No, not really.
Did you?
It's hard to watch it, dude.
Did you follow it?
I follow the girl side more than the men's side, but yeah, I followed it.
I wanted to ask if you had any big takeaways from it. Any players?
What are your big takeaways from it?
I'm shocked by Gonzaga losing because when I watched them, they were the scariest team I've ever seen.
Why?
They just scored every time they won it.
They're the same Gonzaga team every year, dude. They always run through the competition and they play a tough, like a hard-nosed team.
Yeah.
And they struggle.
Watching them against UCLA was fun, though, because my dad has been a fan of UCLA since he was 15, so for 65 years. And I remember when we first sat down to watch the Michigan State playing game, he was like, oh, they're going to get smoked. I was like, you never know. You just never know. I just kind of said that because it's March Madness. Yeah. And then they won. And the next game they won. And he just kept being like, oh, they're going to blow it. And they just kept winning.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool for him because I know how excited he was about it to see them go so far. And
he was doing the old Vic Law Chicago Bears thing. We're going to lose, but still watching the game.
No, anytime I remember I was watching with him and there was a charge and he's screaming at the TV and there's a charge in UCLA's favor. He was screaming, that's not a foul. It's not a foul. I was like, Dad, it's a charge. It's good. And he was like, oh, okay, good. But he was like yelling. I was like, dude, there's a lot of game left. You got 40 minutes left.
And you're saying this is the same guy that said, we're going to blow it anyway. It doesn't matter. But now he's screaming at the TV.
He's in it on every play. He's locked in. He's yelling at the refs. Like, no one's listening, but he's still yelling every time. But so that was a cool experience.
Mark Madness is dope, dude. Yeah, Mark Madness is dope, dude. It's the best time of the year, I think, for basketball. I was excited to see Loyola and U of I play. That was a cool thing. And to see Loyola win was cool.
And the Big Ten smoked it.
Well, yeah, we did. The Big Ten was probably the best, by far and away, the best team during the regular season. Then got in the tournament.
By far.
And couldn't hold a glass of water.
The Pac-12 was all over the place.
Pac-12 was very good. But also, people were making arguments that, like, the Big Ten was the first conference to go to 20 games in the conference instead of 16 or 18. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, maybe they're tired. Maybe it's like, maybe.
I don't think it does, like, make that much. In your experience, does that make that much of a difference?
I mean, 20 games is long, like, for sure long, especially against the same conference.
Yeah.
But still, like, you only got to be better than the team for 40 minutes. I don't know. I didn't watch the game, so I can't tell you. Like, every game, like, this is a common theme between every game. But Big Ten did not do well this tournament, that's for sure.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's always fun when that happens, and it's exciting. And then, like, the 11 seed in the Final Four, like, some big upsets, 15 seeds, all of that. But
I mean, it was most upsets this year, right?
Yeah, but then I just hate it because then it ends up as a one seed versus one seed. You're like, yeah.
I mean, what were you expecting? That was, like, the game everyone was waiting on.
I know, but it's so much fun during, you know, the chaos that you just, like,
I mean, who almost beat Gonzaga? UCLA, right?
Yeah, but they were playing out of their minds.
What did your dad do when he banked that three?
I wasn't with him. I was out with some friends, and it was crazy because everyone was so excited. They got the putback, and before you could even finish celebrating that putback, and it's going double overtime. To see that bank go in, you're just defeated. Just instantly defeated.
That's what makes it fun. That's the madness of March.
I mean, it makes us remember the times when maybe, you know, Vic Law was out there.
We played Gonzaga. We had the game. And a missed goaltend call here, a technical foul there. You know, I enjoyed my time at tournament.
How cool was it? Like, really, how cool was it? Like, is that something you still think about a lot?
It was freaking awesome. Being there is one of the best moments of my life. Yeah. Being there, winning a game there, having my whole family there, like people, like, went to the impression, like, and rightfully so, that Northwestern, like, wasn't an athletic school. When we were in Salt Lake City, Northwestern sold out the Jazz Arena. Like, it was all purple in there. Like, I had never seen this many Northwestern fans come out in one single, like, event ever. And, you know, like, that game was fun. Like, you know, like, and this was before Corona, so – you know what I'm saying? Like, you go out, like the energy in the town is just crazy because it's the tournament. It was awesome. I loved it. I think the tournament is definitely, like, something, like, when kids go to college and they're like, what are you striving for? It is definitely the feeling of being in the tournament.
It just, it seems like such a crazy, it just seems like it's madness. It actually is madness. That's a perfect word for it. The idea of all those teams in one place, just, like, playing for the title.
You're all zero. Their rankings don't matter anymore. Now it's just, all right, dude, let's see who can scout the best in 2 days and come out, and let's see who's hot. It's awesome. It literally is awesome. I love the tournament. And then when you win,
crazy.
Yeah, come on.
And you're playing on national TV.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
People back home watching you from everywhere. Like, it was awesome. The tournament was legit.
I mean, would you say that if you had to compare the two, and I know they're so totally different, what's more memorable, winning your first appearance in the NBA or winning that first game in March, or winning that game in March Madness?
Winning your first appearance in the NBA. I don't think we won my first appearance in the NBA.
I'm saying your first appearance in the NBA or winning March Madness, the game in March Madness?
Two different feelings for sure. Two different feelings. You know, winning that tournament, March Madness, is a different type of fun and enjoyment, and being able to play in the NBA is just like a sense of pride and accomplishment. Yeah. That all that hard work is finally paying off. Like, it's just two different things. Like, both like incredible accomplishments, but just two different feelings, man. Like, definitely excitement and nerves and all that to play in the NBA, but. When you're winning in the tournament, it is a different type of like love and excitement with your guys.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm excited to see what's next for you. I know that the injury is not ideal, but you know, it's another setback that you're going to bounce back from. Absolutely. In a big way and just move forward, and looking forward to the next, you know, goal, like achieving that next goal and just building.
That's all what it's about, man. Stacking his paper, winning games. Building the resume.
Win some Fortnite games, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, you didn't get back on or what, dude?
I think I've retired.
I'm at a point where I could carry you now.
I don't need to be carried. I do not need to be carried. You know, don't slander me on this show. All right, man.
I'm like, all right, man. You got any new updates for Bristol Studio that needs to get broadcasted?
I mean, we just got a bunch of new drops coming out. We got a bunch of new events coming
out. You guys are selling coasters now? Do I gotta start pitching?
It's ideas? A lifestyle.
You guys have noted you're selling coasters.
No. So the coasters are a lifestyle item, and they're also more affordable so that people can access the brand. Because obviously not everyone can just afford a $195 hoodie like you.
Yeah, I know.
So we want to make things stuff that are affordable.
You guys are selling Gucci laced.
It's made in
T-shirts for $400.
No, $85. Like, everything's made in LA, cut and sewn, custom fabrics. It's expensive. So we have to sell at those prices.
Now you're like, all right, man.
If I could sell it for less, I would. But that's why we have to have these lower, lower price items.
You guys are saying all the homies want free stuff.
Oh my God.
Give them coasters.
No, the coasters are something we've wanted to do for a while. And the water bottles, and there's more stuff coming, more kind of like, you know, more affordable items, things that we value and I've always wanted to put our spin on. So we got some of these elastic bracelets, like the Livestrong bracelets. Yeah. We got these finger sleeves, like the Allen Iverson finger sleeves coming up. Look at this.
I mean, I got all the jokes, man, but you know, I'll be buying it. Yeah, you guys.
So, you know, we're expanding the line. And also with that is coming some more elevated pieces. The reversible flight jacket, the cargo pants, the Coach Rashad trousers and jackets, like some more fine men's tailoring products. Right. So we're expanding everything. And it's just been something we've been working on for a while. And we're finally at that point where it's starting to release. So it's exciting. Right. And it's a lot of work, but you know, we're doing it.
Well, I love it. Sounds good, mate.
But again, appreciate you taking the time to do this and get back to rehab and stay on Fortnite. Get those dubs.
Absolutely, man. We gotta keep the show and the brand going.
Yes, sir. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Jake. Be good, dog.
This podcast is presented by Bristol Studio, sound editing by Rashad Allen, music by James Grissom.